Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, says in Jeremiah chapter 2 and in verse 13, in fact, let me read 12 as well, says, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." That's a verse that comes to my mind when I read a recent blog post. And in that blog post, it went into this subject about idolatry, about finding our joy, our hope, our satisfaction in something else other than our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or in God Himself, the triune God Himself. The article that I'm referring to was an article entitled, "Why I Wrote Sipping Salt Water." That's the analogy or the metaphor that is used throughout this article. I thought it was excellent. It's a great analogy, a great metaphor that he has chosen here to describe this idea of why we gravitate towards idolatry. In this particular post, he likens it to addiction, and specifically ties it to something personally in his life, the addiction that his father had, an alcohol addiction. And partway through the article, though, he has a link to why he chose this metaphor of sipping water. When I say he, I'm talking about Steve. His last name is spelled H-O-P-P-E. I'm not sure if that's Hope is how you say it, or Hoppy. I'm not sure. But he wrote this blog post, and this one, again, is found out at the Biblical Counseling Coalition. That's www.biblicalcounselingcoalition.org. And if you've been listening to the broadcast over the last couple weeks or so, you know that I've referred to this website a number of times. I'm just finding a lot of very helpful articles out there at this website, so I recommend it to you, www.biblicalcounselingcoalition.org. And so he writes in this blog post, he says, "Why I Wrote Sipping Salt Water." Sipping Salt Water is a book that he wrote, and one of the endorsements for the book, a very short endorsement on the cover, says, "Hope rises with each chapter," and that's from Ed Welch. And you're probably familiar, if you're familiar with Christian or biblical counseling at all, then you know about Ed Welch, who has written a number of books on that subject. But the subtitle says, "How to Find Lasting Satisfaction in a World of Thirst." Sipping Salt Water, again, is the title of this. And I think Steve is he's a pastor in Chicago, and he's the author of this book. I don't think it has been released yet. I think it's scheduled to be released very shortly, and I thought about just getting Steve on the program, but I may still do that, see if he's available to do that. But I thought I would just start by introducing you to some of the thoughts that he has written about the book, and in this case, specifically, why he wrote it. He says in this post, dated October 17th, he says, why I wrote Sipping Salt Water, he said, "My father was an alcoholic. He started drinking in college as a stress release valve, continued drinking to cope with the challenge of marriage and fatherhood, and eventually became hooked. The addiction took over his mind, his body, and soul. It ruled him until the day that he died. So 4 years ago, I set out to write a book about addiction. I wanted to understand and to explain why, at the heart level, my dad drank so much. As I began to research addiction, observe addicts, observe myself, and pray, I came to a profound realization. The fundamental root of all addiction is idolatry. At this realization, the focus of the book shifted. Instead of zeroing in on the symptom, addiction, I chose to write about the root cause, idolatry. I understand that thousands of books, blogs, and Bible-based articles have been written on the topic of idolatry. So I wanted my goal in this book, in writing this book, or he says, so what is my goal in writing this book? Allow me to list five of the goals then in writing this book. Number one, he says, first, my goal was to explain idolatry in a fresh way. I wanted to capture the essence of idolatry with a vivid metaphor that sheds new light on the subject while still remaining biblically accurate. I chose sipping salt water. The metaphor is explained in detail in another post and even greater detail in the book. Well, let me switch to that other post then and look at, you know, this metaphor that he uses for idolatry and what I think is a great analogy of sipping salt water. In that post, he says this, a fresh take on idolatry is the title of it. And this one was written in September, the end of September 2017. He said, you attend a solid gospel-centered church. They talk about idolatry a lot. In fact, they talk about it so much that the concept has become a bit stale to you. You know you worship false gods. You know this is the root of most of your sin. You know you need to repent. You hear it every Sunday. And if you're honest with yourself, your heart has become hard to the message. Let me attempt to soften it by explaining idolatry in a fresh way. Idolatry is like sipping salt water. Number one, he talks about the subject of thirst. I'll start with the problem, he says. We're thirsty. We're born this way. No, this thirst isn't physical. It's spiritual. We're thirsty for something more than the world can offer. Something more satisfying, something more gratifying, something more pleasurable, refreshing, and rewarding, something that can fill the nagging void in our hearts, something that can bring peace to our unsettled souls, and something transcendent, something heavenly. We're thirsting for paradise, all of us. But the bad news is, there's nothing to drink. Nothing around us can quench this thirst. Why not? Our world isn't paradise. Our jobs are stressful, taxing, and unfulfilling. Our relationships are quarrelsome. We get cancer. We break bones. We throw up. We get hemorrhoids. We feel nervous, afraid, angry, and upset. The Holocaust happens. 9/11 happens. There's poverty, genocide, and starvation. They happen. Terrorists set off bombs. Our car hits potholes. We go years without speaking to relatives. Divorce splits up our families. Hurricanes, tsunamis, and earthquakes destroy our planet. We get wrinkles, zits, sunspots, and bald spots. We rarely smile. We rarely laugh. We rarely let loose and play. Our minds fail us. Our hearts ache. We constantly itch for more. And eventually, we die. The world as we know it is anything but paradise. Sipping salt water. How do we respond? How do we attempt to quench this nagging thirst for paradise in a world that isn't paradise? We sip salt water. We consume things that look and feel and sound like they can quench our thirst. They promise unmatched pleasure. They promote limitless comfort, joy, peace, and excitement. They vow to remove our fears, our tears, our worries, our shame. They pledge to fill the void of our heart with and soothe our aching souls. They promise paradise. And so we place them to our lips and drink. No, we don't start by gulping them down. We start with subtle and measured sips. We swish, we savor, we swallow salt water slowly. Not surprisingly, our thirst remains unquenched. In fact, we're left thirstier than before, with nasty hangovers, the negative physical, emotional, and spiritual consequences of idolatry. As a result, we feel guilt, anger, fear, and shame. Our emotions tumble. We ache on the inside. Our relationships suffer on the outside. We suffer spiritual pain, soul pain. How do we respond? Like an alcoholic with a debilitating hangover, we promise ourselves we'll never sip again. But just as an alcoholic hangover eventually wears off, so do our saltwater hangovers. The soul pain loses its biting edge as time passes. The guilt and shame diminish. The internal heartache subsides. The agony dissipates. And we find ourselves thirsty again. Actually, thirstier. And the cycle then repeats itself over and over again. And pretty soon, we're no longer sipping, we're guzzling. Eventually, we're completely addicted to salt water. We're enslaved to our idols. It comes in many forms. What form is this salt water takes in real life? Well, salt water can be anything. It can be money, sex, food, beauty, or technology. It can be marriage, parenthood, drugs, alcohol, or work. It can control. It can comfort. It's sports. It's service. It's relationship, religion, affirmation, adrenaline, emotion, or exercise. It can be anything, any good thing given to us by God. And the antidote to that is living water. So what's the solution? How can this nagging thirst be quenched? What's an antidote to our unavoidable parched souls? In the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us, there we read the story of the famous and nameless woman at the well. She has a brief encounter with Jesus at noon, the hottest time of the day. He asks her for a drink. Her response, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The solution to our nagging thirst isn't salt water, it's living water. And where does it come from? It comes from Christ. He's the only source, not Allah, not Buddha, not Muhammad or Joseph Smith or any other false god or prophet out there. You won't find it in Hinduism or Judaism or Buddhism or Mormonism or any world religion, but only Christianity. You can't get it in yoga or positive thinking or spirituality. Living water comes from Jesus. He is the source. To whom is it offered? Anybody. If we examine this woman's credentials, she is the most unlikely of candidates. She's a Samaritan, seen as a religious outcast by the Jews in Jesus' day. She's a woman, the mark of inferiority in a male-dominated first culture. Finally, she's alone, a probable sign that she's been shunned by the woman who gathered water during the cooler morning hours, by religious, gender, moral, and social standards. She's a second-class citizen. If living water is offered to her, it's offered to anybody, including me and you. Can it really quench your thirst? Yes. In fact, not only will it quench your thirst now, it will quench your thirst for eternity. John chapter 4 and verse 14. Should you choose to drink the living water, you're promised eternal glory. You're promised paradise. No more suffering. No more pain. No more headaches or heartache. No more emotional turmoil. No more death. You will be with God in paradise forever. Would you join me for a drink? It's written by Steve Hope, H-O-P-P-E, if it's pronounced that way. And he's a pastor in Chicago, and he was talking in this portion of the blog about why he chose that analogy of sipping salt water to explain the idea of idolatry. Back to his regular article, the article that I began with, he said, the fundamental root of all addiction is idolatry. And he's looking specifically at to understand why his dad was an alcoholic and why he drank so much. Why was he doing that? At this realization, the focus of the book that he was writing shifted then. Instead of zeroing in on the symptom, addiction, I chose to write about the root cause, idolatry. And to understand that, I understand that thousands of books, blogs, and Bible-based articles have been written on the topic of idolatry. So, what were my goals in writing this book? And then he says, allow me to list five. The first is a fresh metaphor. First, my goal was to explain idolatry in a fresh way. I wanted to capture the essence of idolatry with a vivid metaphor that sheds light on the topic while still remaining biblically accurate. And so this metaphor of sipping salt water, I think he achieved that first goal. The second goal, he said, a pathway to addiction. My second goal was to explain how idolatry leads to addiction. I call it the salt water cycle. It consists of three steps, repeats itself endlessly, and eventually leads to hell, both in this life and in the life to come. Step one, he says, we listen to a lie. And if I could help Steve here just with a little alliteration, because I have that disease, I would have said, we succumb. The other two are begin with an F, S afterwards. But he says, we listen to the lie. The first step in the saltwater cycle is somewhat passive. We listen to a lie. The lie is that sipping salt water, i.e. worshiping idols, can satisfy our thirsty souls. The world, the flesh, and the devil ruthlessly spread this lie. They try to dupe, deceive, and delude us into thinking that soul satisfaction is available in salt water. Number two, we sip. The second step is more active. We believe the lie and drink. More accurately, we sip. We take slow, subtle, quiet, gentle, and measured tastes of salt water. Sometimes we sip it subconsciously. We don't even realize that we're doing it. Third, we suffer. The third step isn't a pleasant one. We suffer, he says. not only are we left thirstier after sipping salt water, but we also experience biting hangovers. The physical, emotional, rational, and spiritual consequences of our sips. We feel guilt, shame, anger, fear, sadness, grief, hopelessness, sorrow, distress, dejection, and gloom. We ache on the inside, and our relationships suffer on the outside. But just as the alcoholic hangover eventually wears off, so do the saltwater hangovers, and the cycle repeats. In our state of heightened thirst, we listen to the same set of lies. We again believe the lies and sip, often in a greater quantity, to satisfy our intensified thirst. We suffer brutal hangovers again. They wear off, and we start all over again. Pretty soon, we're officially addicted to the salt water. My third goal in writing Sipping Salt Water was to uncover a plethora of contemporary ideas to which we can become addicted. Some are obvious, like money, sex, power, for example, but some are less obvious, like social media, or fantasy, or tolerance, or therapy, busyness, and religion, to name just a few. Some idols are almost never classified as such, like poverty, or singleness, or self-deprivation, suffering, chaos, austerity, and pain, for instance. But anything, and I mean anything, can be an idol. And Sipping Salt Water shines a bright light on many to which we were blind. The fourth goal in writing this book was to model transparency. In Sipping Salt Water, I am brutally honest about my battle with idolatry and saltwater addiction. I have, to varying degrees, worshipped and been addicted to every form of saltwater that I list. Accomplishment? Check. Human approval? Check. Drinking, drugs, money, sex, control, comfort, busyness, people, work, and food? Check, check, check. In Sipping Salt Water, I model transparency for one reason, to show you so that you can feel free to be transparent about your idols and addictions as well. Fifth and finally, in Sipping Salt Water, instead of merely describing the problem of idolatry and addiction, my goal was to provide a pathway to freedom. What's the pathway? Well, it doesn't mean demonizing your idols. It doesn't mean treading salt water treating salt water as garbage. Instead, it means drinking a different drink. We find freedom by drinking living water, again in John chapter 4 and verse 1 through 14. We find it by falling in love with Jesus, by replacing our affections for salt water with affections for Christ. We find it by reading Scripture and serving, praying, spending time with other Christians and praising God. We find freedom by paradoxically enslaving ourselves to Him. We find it by guzzling down and the drink that wells up to eternal life. So why did I write Sipping Salt Water? Partly to understand my father, and more specifically his addiction. Partly to provide a bit of a redemption to a dark tale in his life and my somewhat traumatic childhood. Partly to provide a new angle on the topic of idolatry, and partly to point to idolatry as a fundamental root of addiction, partly to uncover a host of hidden idols and addictions in our contemporary culture, and partly to confess that I'm the worst of addicts. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. But the main reason why I wrote Sipping Salt Water was to point to Jesus as the path to freedom from idolatry and addiction. He is the source of the living water and only drink that will quench our thirst both now and forever. Again, that's by Stephen Hope. It's out at BiblicalCounselingCoalition.org.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.